candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night.
Now, first, though, on Downtown, I am so excited about this event. November 7th at the Collins Center for the Arts at the University of Maine in Dreams. Roy Orbison in concert, a very special event. And to talk more about that, we're joined on the telephone by Roy's son. He's a producer and a musician. Alex Orbison joins us this afternoon. Alex, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So excited for this show. Can you talk a little bit about how this all happened, how you pulled together with the folks at Bass Hologram this incredible opportunity for people who never had a chance to see your dad in concert?
Well, you know, they were motivated. Bass Hologram was motivated to get a show up and running, and we were keen on this to be the first, pop star to have a hologram tour that was a global phenomenon. And I think my dad really lends himself as a character to having the hologram represent him, because his stage performance is so much about him simply standing there and singing. And so, with a hologram visual representation, and then my dad's pristine vocals flying through the big speakers in these theaters and arenas, it has made for a fantastic show.
Well, and what an opportunity as well for new generations of fans to see and hear his music.
That really is. You know, we have over 2 million people on Facebook that follow my dad. And when we would post, you post a photo or a video of the Black and White Night, you know, it'd be my dad, Bruce Springsteen, up there playing away. And then there would be one person, one guy would say, oh, I was there. I saw him in, 1986. And then for one comment, there literally would be like 200 below. I would do anything, what I wouldn't give, and I you see those things and you take it to heart. So it really is an opportunity for people either to get in another Roy Orbison show, if they've seen him before, but for those people who didn't, it's a fantastic opportunity.
Do you remember what your reaction was the first time you saw the hologram version of your father?
Yeah, it really blew me away. And the crazy thing for me was that, and it kind of felt like this within the crowd when I was watching the show, the first song is going by and you're really taking in the sights and trying for your inner, the computer of your brain to figure out exactly what it is you're seeing. And then when my dad hits the high note on Only the Lonely, the hair on your neck and your arms kind of stands up and you get the goose pimples. And then I was very quickly able to relax and enjoy the show. And I was very impressed with how solid the hologram is, when you look at it, and it literally just looks like a very well-lit version of my dad standing on stage belting out these songs.
And I understand that you and the family also offered some suggestions after you originally saw it to make it even more like your father.
Yeah, and we do that. It's a family-run small business, essentially, Orbison is, and so we've stayed very close to the process, and everything from the shoes the hologram's wearing to how the glasses fit on the face or the way the guitar's draped on the body, and just, everything we tried to make it as exact as possible and also make it for an enjoyable show. The response has been very good, and we're supremely pleased with this. And it as much as even seeing my dad play a show in 2018, the hologram is a phenomenon, and it's like it's what's happening in popular culture right now. And that aspect of it is very cool to be associated with too,
We're talking with Alex Orbison. He's the president of Roy Orbison Music and Roy's youngest son. His music is so incredible and so timeless. What is it about the songs of Roy Orbison that make them hold up every bit as much today as they did 50, 65 years ago?
That is a great, great question. And at the end of the day, it's really staying true to himself, what has persevered. And my dad never did well using someone else's template or their approach to music. And so my dad had gone to Sun Records in 1956, 7, and 8, I guess. Around 1958, my dad wasn't doing so well. And rock and roll was changing, and then he took off a little time and really focused on songwriting. And so I think, besides my dad's stellar voice, my dad, and as well as his co-writers, have crafted songs that really emulated the way he truly felt. And, in the early 60s, for a man to be singing about crying and the tenderheartedness of his subjects, but also where he puts himself in the story, but also the way that it showcases his voice. You know, those songs are like a stairway for his voice to get higher and louder and higher and louder until finally you're on the edge of your seat, you know. And I think that all those things combined really you can feel my dad's spirit, which is truly incredible.
Well, and it's, again, it becomes apparent how timeless your father's music is because of the great tribute in the hottest movie in the country right now, what Bradley Cooper does to honor your dad in A Star Is Born.
Yeah, it truly is. It truly is. And, Bradley really was very, very smart about the way he put together that movie and, enlisting Lady Gaga to co-star all the way down to using Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real as the backing band. And it's like a musician's music movie behind all the big Hollywood production as well. So, the fact that you find Roy Orbison there is really very fitting and just comes at a great time for us because we're also, we have commissioned a script and we're going to go into production with the Roy Orbison movie. And we've been taking so many meetings, and some people, that's one of the things that would come up is like, well, how's Roy relevant today? And I'm not hearing any of that for the last 2.5 weeks or since they announced A Star Is Born.
We mentioned your work as a musician and a producer, and the musical pedigree doesn't come much better than having Roy Orbison as your dad and Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash as your godparents, right?
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. Thank you very much. It's very flattering. And, Johnny bought the house next door to my dad before I was born, and they became best friends through their living next to each other for the majority of their lives in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And that was when Johnny and June had got married. And so the family association and all that at the end of the day is very nice. And I think also helps that my dad had really instilled in us as children if you want it, you got to work hard. And that was if I approached him and said, I've been practicing 3 hours a day, he said, that's fantastic, son. If you want to get to where I went, do 8 hours a day, and you got it. Yeah, very, very reaffirming, but also, very straight to the point. So, that's one thing I've come to know in managing my dad with my brothers, Wesley and Wood Jr., is that even my dad had to really hone his craft and had to fight every step of the way to become Roy Orbison. So, for any of the younger listeners out there, where there's a will, there's a way, and just practice, practice, practice.
You were pretty young when your dad passed away. What do you remember best about him as Roy the person, Roy your father?
Oh, well, probably his laugh. It's funny because as his son, people ask questions, and he just had this, gregarious laugh that would turn almost into a cackle sometimes, and he had this very sharp sense of humor that was sometimes dry and very witty and not like he wouldn't come in and say, oh, a guy walks into a bar, not jokes like that. Like if you were at the store and then, you pulled out your money and your keys fell and then, all of a sudden you realized you didn't have enough money. My dad had these one-liners that he would just interject very, very sly and understated. That would be the funniest thing. So I remember his laughter, his love of very fast cars, and just him being there and being a being a great dad and how much he loved my mom and those things, you know, which is, they're all very happy things, which for a guy who wrote so many sad songs, you'd think that he would just be off in a corner like sulking or something, but that really wasn't the way that he was at home.
Alex Orbison, we appreciate you making time for us to share memories of your father, Roy, and we cannot wait for In Dreams, Roy Orbison in concert, November 7th at the Collins Center for the Art. Alex, thanks again.
Thank you.